Welcome to Off the Bench with Danny Cannell.
Back to throw, first and 10, the pass is deep to his tight end.
And Rajah Bell.
Bell has done three things. 22 for Rajah.
Saw the future of football right before your eyes. Just yell it out, man. He can't guard me.
What's going on? Welcome to Cannell and Bell. It is a Friday, so that means Rajah's got to take the day off. But no fear, we got David Sampson filling in for him. We're going to have a ton of fun today. Might go off the rails as much as yesterday's show. Yesterday, we went off the rails, which I think is fun. I actually prefer to go off the rails in directions
we don't
know, off the script. Like, we just let the conversation take us wherever it may go.
You have a script?
Yeah, we do have scripts.
It's funny. I get something sent to me that has like one line in it.
Right.
Like a stat line.
I get all the information. Basically, I'm just reading the entire show. No, that's not true.
That's exciting.
That is. We're going to get into baseball because home runs are up and there are a couple players, David Price, chief among them, that are saying the balls could be juiced.
So I'm curious to get your complain a lot.
He does. He's complaining a lot. So I can't wait to get your thoughts on that. NBA playoffs, as we saw, the Sixers had a monster game against the Raptors last night. And are you ready for it? DJ Uiagalelei. Pretty good, right?
Folks, he practiced that for 20 minutes
and
before the show.
I think I have it right because I listened to his name about 50 times. He actually says it, pronounces it. I think I got it right. He is making his announcement this weekend. He's a five-star quarterback from California. We'll talk a little bit about that later in the show.
By the way, I have a spoiler alert.
Oh, yeah?
He actually called to tell me.
He did. Where's he going?
Yale.
Oh, really?
Yes.
He's going to shock the world.
He's gonna going to be a bulldog. Ivy.
Nice. That would be great. That'd be great for Yale.
You're so
I wish there
that.
Would. No. See, I actually, believe it or not, I actually had a really good GPA in high school, had a pretty strong SAT score. I was recruited by a lot of the Ivies.
Did you take your own SATs?
I did. Shockingly, I did. I actually only took it once my sophomore year. And then I knew I was going to get recruited for football, so I didn't have to get better like a lot of kids do, where they're like, oh, I try to maximize it. So I was like, eh, I'm good. I qualified. Like, basically, it was 700 at the time. I was well above that. So I was like, I don't
700
care.
Total for your
yeah,
SAT?
Remember that was the
you
baseline.
You get 700 for writing your name.
Oh, I know. You get 400 for writing your name. And I think you get 300 for filling, like, three questions right.
Wait, is that two N's and one L?
Right.
Two L's?
You had to make sure that
Dad.
You did that. I wish more guys would consider the options of what it would mean to go to an Ivy League school, a Harvard, a Princeton, a Yale. I wish guys would take it more seriously.
What are the odds of this
player? The lure of Florida State and not only the football and the academics, which were quite strong, but also the co-eds were pretty strong. So that was one of the reasons why I looked at Florida State.
Boy, that is a great reason to choose a school.
It is, but you're 18 at the time. I wish more kids would consider the bigger picture. Because I think to get to the NFL now, I don't think you have to play at a Florida State, Alabama, a Clemson, Ohio State. They'll find you if you're good. And the football is pretty good at the Ivy League.
There's
you probably
no more,
don't have as much wear and tear on your body.
There's no more of the air up there. Remember the Kevin Bacon movie where he goes to Africa and finds players, basketball players who are just hiding?
Yes.
You don't really get to hide anymore. Scouts will find you.
Right.
For me, get the education. Because even if you're the number one quarterback who you're claiming is the number one prospect, he's 18.
I'm not claiming it. Our 24/7 sports.
He is one knee injury away,
agreed,
one Theismann away from not making a dollar other
true
than what's given to him illegally, right?
Yep.
One Theismann away. Why not get the best education you can? Because the odds are anyway, you're gonna need it.
Exactly.
And there are co-eds at Yale, might I add.
My parents, yeah, don't
yes,
make me
there
say
are.
Anything.
Say
my
it.
Parents, no, I'm not gonna say anything. I actually spent a little bit of time in New Haven checking out the pizza place because they have a pizza trail up there, which is outstanding. I'll just withhold my comments on the co-eds at Yale.
By withholding it, you're commenting.
Okay, fair enough. I was raised in such a way that my parents always said, you could always lose football. You could always lose athletics. You will always be able to fall back on your degree. And yet it still went in one ear and out the other because when you're 17, 18 years old, you have a different set of priorities. It's hard to look long term. We're going to break into his, break down his decision a little bit later. Before we get to the NBA, two very important quick questions I have for you. If you tie a tie, you don't ever wear a tie though, do you? Do you
refuse
to wear one?
Ties.
Like, even for funerals, weddings?
Not wear ties.
Oh, so this question doesn't even apply to it. I was going to say, what is worse to, because sometimes, you know.
I wore a tie for 18 years, remember?
Yeah, that's true. So you did wear it. So when you were working, you wore it.
Oh, I'm still working.
No, but apparently not. Apparently you don't take this as seriously as you did your last job.
Oh, because you take it seriously? Because you're wearing a knit
tie? I'm wearing a tie, yeah. I got a
TJ Maxx? That's serious?
No, this is.
All right.
No, this is a.
Sorry, folks.
Is it better? Is it better if you do it the first time and you're in a hurry? Is it better to have it where it's too long or too short? Which would you rather err on?
Because they're always better. By the way, it's a perfect question because I'm so short. I had to cut my ties because they were always too long and I would have to redo it. I always want the front to be the right.
Yes.
Front of your tie to be right. And if the back is too long, I would tuck it into my pants.
Right. Who cares
better
about the back?
Than just being too short.
Right.
But I generally had to. I did a single Windsor knot always.
Right.
I never learned how to do a double Windsor.
I still don't
Maybe
know how
that's because I'm a product
Windsor.
Of divorce. I don't know, but I just couldn't do it. So I did a single and the ties generally that were not made for 5 foot five guys.
Right.
So it's a problem.
Yeah. So
then I said, you know what?
It bothered me. I had my tie on too long, so it was down past my belt. The top of your belt length is the perfect
top of the belt.
It was bothering me, so I actually redid it. So now I think I have the
correct
one.
But does your shirt fit you? Because it's not buttoned, so it looks like why bother wearing a tie?
It does fit me. It's okay, but I just loosened it up because I already did my hit for CBS Sports HQ. So our boy Coca, our producer here, is in my ear saying, can we talk some sports?
I don't
actually,
know. He's very handsome.
He's anti-entertainment, I guess. Coke is. speaking of entertainment, the Sixers fans were entertained thoroughly last night as they put a beatdown on the Toronto Raptors at home. Was never really close. At halftime, they had a commanding lead. They won 116-95. Joel Embiid showed why people are so high on him and the potential that's been there throughout his career. It made you forget for a few minutes about some of the injury issues he's had, some of the immaturity issues he's had, because when he is on, you see the type of devastating performance he can have, not only with the ball in his hands, but when he's on the defensive force and he can have five blocks in a game and really everybody's scared to attack the rim.
You guys are so different now. I mean, you've got two of them in the playoffs, one with the Nuggets, Dokic, and now, and you look at Embiid, we're showing him driving to the basket. He can shoot the three, not consistently, but enough that you have to respect it. And then he's got the Euro step like Giannis, where basically he goes from half court to the hole in three steps.
Yeah, like
and
one dribble. Yeah.
And that's what's incredible about him. What's telling about the NBA playoffs for me is that the team which wins each game is just the team who shoots better. Sounds counterintuitive and like obvious, but no, with all the threes that are being shot, you know, the Bucks shot 20 for 47 a game too. Yes, they're going to win if you're going to hit 20 threes, but is this the type of basketball that we like watching?
You don't. I know you don't. I would like to see a mix because I like seeing the threes, but I also like to see a little bit more movement. I like to see a little bit more creativity. I like to see a little bit more attack in the basket and finishing at the basket, not always trying to kick it out for the three-point shot. You are right, though. It is all about a make-miss league right now. Who is making the
shot? It's all ISO, right? So for Leonard, right, it's all ISO. They get him the ball. They clear out. Sometimes they'll set a high pick, you know, on top of the key, and then instead of the pick and roll, it's the pick and disappear. It's a new play. I don't know if Red Auerbach ever heard of it, but it's the pick and get out of my way. So from my perspective, as I'm watching the games, I'm just saying you can't gamble on these games properly because you say to yourself, the team who's going to win is the team who shoots better. How can you predict on a game-to-game basis
right.
who's going to shoot better?
Right. And if you try to say, all right, the hot team, there's no guarantee that's going to carry over from one game to the next.
It does not.
It does not translate. I was wrong on this game yesterday. I know Debo's probably like, when's he going to say it? Because both Raja and I took the Raptors in this game, the first game back in Philadelphia. I was completely wrong on that. Now I'm wondering if I've been wrong on the series because Toronto, as good as they looked in game one, as great as Pascal Siakam and Kawhi Leonard have looked, all of a sudden you're starting to look at this team and say, I don't think that's enough.
Philly's deeper. There's
Philly's
no
much
doubt about
deeper.
That.
And the Philly's thing for me is always a maturity, a continuity of them getting on the same page. But I think last night when you see the potential of what they can be when they're on, then you could say, all right, this is a team not only can win the series, but they could represent the Eastern Conference in the finals.
The question is, are they willing? Do you remember the 1983-82 Sixers with World B. Free and George McGinnis and Caldwell Jones and Moses Malone? The biggest problem they had is there was only one basketball.
Right.
And these Phillies, that's funny. These Sixers had the same issue. What was interesting is when Jimmy Butler at a press conference at the end of the game, he sounded for the first time that they were being selfless.
Mm-hmm.
And if they become a selfless team, they're going to advance. They'll get past the Raptors because they're a better team. A selfish team, if they play that way, they will not get past the Raptors.
Yep, for sure. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as the series continues to move on. More interesting, I think, is the Kawhi Leonard impact on, I think specifically how this playoff run, how long it lasts, could impact his future. He looked really frustrated after the game. when he sat down with the media, just body language alone. And I know he's kind of a, he's a quieter guy who doesn't like, he's not going to sit there for 10 minutes after a win even and just give great answers.
Learned from Pop. Don't forget that.
Exactly. He did learn from Pop, but I did think you saw some frustration of, I don't like having to carry my team, because he's done his part. Pascal Siakam has done his part, but then everybody else has been pretty atrocious. And I look at Kyle Lowry as a guy who, you know, his issues in the playoffs are well documented. He has discussed them quite openly. After the game, he said, talking about Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry said, "We've got to help him. I was literally saying it during the game. We have to help him. He's doing everything he could possibly do offensively and defensively to bleeping win games. And myself, I'm not helping him enough." He's right.
That's the marketing department, you know. Yeah. The marketing and sales department of the Raptors had Lowry say that.
They did.
They want to keep Leonard and they want to keep him happy. Here's the way to help him, right? If you're
Lowry. How
about
produce on the,
that's
the court?
It. Can you imagine? It seems easy, right?
Yeah.
How about hit a shot or two?
Right.
Right? Take some pressure off. But Leonard, why he's frustrated after a loss, he's not thinking about free agency. He's a max guy.
Yep.
So he knows that he's rich, richer, and richest. The question is, where does he want to live from a personal standpoint? Is he comfortable in Canada, A, where the taxes are insane?
Yep.
Does he want to go to California? Does he want to be part of a big
taxes
three?
Taxes are insane there too.
Yes, but yep. Does he want to be part of a big three? Does he want to play with LeBron? Does he want to just chase rings, or does he want to chase comfort? That's what's in his head, but not today. His frustration was based on a playoff loss, not the fact that he's in Toronto or alone or he's about to be a free agent.
Of course it is. I totally agree with you. But if you're Kawhi Leonard, I think you would want to see a team that's close if you were going to stay there. If all of a sudden it looks like, hey, this Toronto team isn't that much different than it's been the last 5 years, even though I joined it, I would say that's more likely that you might leave. If he took this team to the finals and maybe they took the Warriors to six games, don't you think that would come into play? Like, hey, I'm close. Or you think the players don't really care that much about
it? They don't.
I do agree there's a pros and cons column that, you know, anytime you make a big decision in life, you're probably going to come up with the pros and cons. I would hope that he would feel like I'm a championship team possibly is pretty high up on that list. Now, maybe that's too idyllic of me, like saying, hey, that, like, I would love if everybody thought like that. Do you think it's more likely that, obviously the money is going to play a massive part, probably the most important, but because it is a max contract, what's next? Like, is it because he's from California, he might go back home, or is this something that he knows in his head?
Danny, my worst day as an MLB team president was the day that I realized that my players care about winning less than I do.
Yeah.
That was like, that hurt. When I was a kid, the toughest day was knowing that it'd be easier to own a team than to play on a team. Mm-hmm. Right? That was a tough moment when you're a short Jewish kid from New York City.
Right.
And then my professional moment was that. So.
What moment? What do you remember a specific moment? Because I remember.
Clear as day.
What happened?
Clear as day. As a kid, when I did not make my junior varsity basketball team because they took a tall guy named Josh Price. If you're out there, Josh Price, you stunk at basketball. And they took you on the team because you were tall. And I practiced free throws and dribbling, and I got cut. Seminal moment for me. As a team president, I remember very well in 2005 when we got eliminated from the wild card race. We had signed Carlos Delgado. We had signed Al Leiter, and we were supposed to be good. We were in the wild card lead in September, and I was devastated after a game in Houston that we should have beaten Roger Clemens after Roger Clemens' mother died. And I walked into the clubhouse, and there were three guys, and I remember who they are, three guys who were despondent like I was, and 22 guys who were getting ready to get dressed and go out. And it ruined the rest of my career almost.
I remember the moment for me when I was realized, oh, professional football is different than college. When I was at Florida State, if we lost, you in the locker room, it was a funeral. And it was like that way probably for the next week. Like every day of practice, it was just something missing. The coaches had to try to lift us up and say, hey, the season's not over. But we were devastated and it hurt inside. Remember my first loss in the regular season, because in the preseason I was like, okay, it doesn't matter. Preseason doesn't matter. And I was like, maybe this is different because guys after the game are ready to go out and party. And then we get in the regular season, lose our first game. And I remember thinking in the locker room, the vibe was completely different. Guys were talking to the media. They were, you know, it wasn't quiet. It was kind of like you couldn't tell the difference between, now you could tell there was more celebration and a win, clearly.
More music.
But it was not devastating, and that was a real wake-up call for me, thinking, oh, this is the business of the NFL. This is not guys playing. And since we just had the NFL draft, I think the hardest thing that executives, coaches, scouts, GMs, need to try to figure out is which guys, obviously, I would say, maybe it's not 100%, but it's really, really close to 100%. The guys are doing it for a paycheck. But I would try to find the guys that winning really matters and they still care. And I think it's the hardest thing to try to uncover if you're doing all these interviews at the combine, because every player is going to tell you what you want to hear. But when they show up and after you lose a game, they're not exactly living up to what they told you or what you think they might have been.
Have you ever interviewed someone for a job where they come in and they interview with you and, hey, why do you want to work in this company? And they give you five reasons. They sound great. You hire them. I've done this before. I can do it. They show up first day of work and they're rearranging their pencils and they're on CBSSports.com doing fantasy stuff and gambling. And you realize, wow, it's possible you can't do your job. And then they give you their first piece of work product and they can't put three sentences together to make a paragraph. It's a whole world of difference between the combine and getting into a regular season game in the NFL. And the combine is based on, that's why, what's your 40-yard dash time? What is your lift? Like, it's analytical tools that don't show you this.
Right.
And that's my issue with baseball, which has gone so analytical that when we draft a kid, when we call a kid up to the big leagues, we're looking here, here, and here. Analytics, they are simply, it's this.
Yep.
They look at a piece of paper.
Robot.
And so for me, I don't think you win that way.
Right. But I think it is the hardest part of the evaluation process is finding the heart. And you can talk to their coaches. I talked to little league coaches, you know, high school coaches, college coaches, anybody you can talk to. But even then, you're getting a lot of what you want to hear because they'd love to have a first round pick. They would love to have a major leaguer, all those types of things.
People change as they get older.
So, and people change when they get the big check.
Well, I don't love long-term deals, even though I'm the king of giving them. and they're wrong all the time. I don't like it because people change. They change when their paycheck every 2 weeks is significant.
Yep, they absolutely do.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
Citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
Check out our new NBA show Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
All right, a little bit later, we're going to get into the Kentucky Derby. Bucket list item or not, have either one of us been there or desire to? We'll get into that a bit later. But some baseball talk. Baseball has been on this trajectory of home run increase year over year over year, and this year is no different. You saw a record 1,144 home runs hit in March and April, averaging 2.62 homers a game. It's an increase of 12% from just a year ago. They're on pace for 6,500 home runs, which would be another new record for baseball. Three teams, the Twins, Mariners, and Brewers, are on pace to hit more than 300 homers, shattering this Yankees single-season record of 267 last year. You can go on and on with stats that show that they're hitting a lot of home runs.
Please,
I don't want to bore us with
keep
all those.
Going.
So, one, David Price of the Boston Red Sox was asked about it, and he said to Bob Nightingale of the USA Today, "Come on, just tell us. We all see it. Just come clean and say it." Basically insisting that the balls are juiced. So you, David Sampson, baseball guy, are the baseballs juiced or is something else juiced? I couldn't resist.
I sure as hell hope they're juiced.
Right.
And why shouldn't they be? So listen, first of all,
you think they are?
David Price should shut the hell up. I've had enough of him. I really have. The whole thing with him, and we'll talk about Fortnite later in the show because we can't go out of order because Coco loses mind. But let's talk about Price and balls and home runs. We are choosing this for our sport. Walks, strikeouts, home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember after the 1994 strike when we were both babies?
Mm-hmm.
There was a strike in baseball in 94.
Yep.
And then attendance went down. TV money was down. All of a sudden, 1998, happens. What was happening in 1998?
Sosa, McGuire, home run race. Everybody's going for the fences.
People losing their minds.
Yep.
Everybody, it's must-see TV every night. Sosa v. McGuire. Will they break the record? Right? It's a steroid party. It's a home run chase. Everyone's happy. Everyone's getting paid. Players are getting paid. Teams are going up in value. Then we realize, uh-oh, people die from taking steroids. We're getting some heat.
Right.
We're going to do a blue ribbon panel. If you remember the blue ribbon panel where they name all the players who did steroids.
Yep.
Then Palmeiro lies in front of the Congress and says, oh, I didn't do anything. And then all of a sudden.
That one, Sosa didn't speak English.
He doesn't. Oh no. We can't even talk about Sosa.
Right.
I can't even talk about it.
Right.
Okay. Then testing. Great testing.
Yep.
Players are still doing steroids. We know this. I know this.
Today. Okay.
It will always be ahead of the testing.
Mm-hmm.
MLB has the greatest testing program of any sport. It's better. In conjunction with the U.S. Doping Association, World Doping Association, whatever. What I do know is players have a way of masking always. They're always ahead of that in every sport.
Yep.
What I also know, though, is baseball attendance is down. Did you see the Kansas City Royal game yesterday?
I did.
It made Marlins Park look like Wrigley Field.
It did. It was empty.
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 Even though it was game one of a doubleheader on a Wednesday, I'm the king of all.
And it looked overcast. It looked cold, maybe.
Oh, it's the greatest.
Baltimore was close too, though. People started tweeting other stadiums that had early starts. They were empty too.
Attendance is an issue. Baseball's got to figure out we need some interest in the game. Now, is Harper Machado, was that the interest we needed? Well, that helped in San Diego, but Machado is not a worldwide or even a league-wide personality, the way McGuire and Sosa were in 98. So now they say, what about Trout? Well, we know from Trout, he doesn't want to be that guy. He doesn't want to be the man, and he's in the wrong time zone. You cannot have the face of your sport in the Western time zone.
10:30 at night, East Coast.
Too late.
I haven't seen
people
him
aren't watching,
at all. Yeah.
Which is why LeBron, believe it or not, when he moved out west from Midwest and from East, it changed his Q rating in basketball. So now we need a face of the game, and we need a reason to watch. So are the balls juiced? What that means is, are they being made tighter?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a chance there's a conspiracy where we're doing something with the balls that makes them go further upon contact? The answer is, it's yes. However, MLB will come out with a study, like it always does, saying we've studied the balls, and they're exactly the same. Right.
So you don't believe them.
It's like me studying your balls and saying footballs.
Thank you for clarifying that.
And saying, yeah, those are not deflated. Those are inflated. They feel like they've always felt that I can say anything, and I can say that I have a study to prove it.
Right.
The facts are the facts. We live in a home run era, and David Price, who got paid, should just be quiet and say, hey, this is exciting baseball. We've got offense. We've got runs being scored. Let's come out and watch games. If he doesn't like it, then he should appeal to his union to change the way his players get paid, not by striking out as a pitcher, striking out hitters, or by hitting home runs as a player. That's how you can change how the game's played.
So the counter that I would say, if you really wanted to believe that the baseballs weren't juiced, would say, well, this is the change in the way the game is played now, because there's a different approach at the plate. Guys are taught this way from a young age to swing for the fences, which is why the strikeout rate.
Because they get paid for that.
Agreed. But you don't think that's enough? You think it's the balls as well? So you think it's both?
I think it's a combination. Absolutely. Launch angle and all these analytical tools. Forget all that. Let's talk money.
Yeah.
Players get paid money to hit home runs. They don't get paid for singles. Remember the old days, Ichiro, the famous contract? He got paid as a singles hitter. He got paid a ton of money.
Yep.
And I criticized that contract very vociferously and publicly because it changed the salary scale for singles hitters. I think we should make it so singles and doubles hitters, triples hitters get paid the most, because it's exciting when there's people running around the bases. Look at our highlights. We're guilty of it here on the queue.
Yeah.
And they're guilty of it everywhere. We show only home runs.
Right. We show bat flips. Because we love bat flips. Those are going to save the game, which I think is stupid to have that philosophy.
I can't talk to you about bat flips.
No, I know you can't.
We're done.
Let me ask you, though. Is there a solution to it? Like, because I think all sports, if you look across the board, NFL, college football, attendance is down for a couple reasons. I think, one, the tickets are more expensive than they've ever been because all these beautiful stadiums are being built. But I also think it's really easy and enjoyable to watch the games at home. Like the Phillies, for instance, they got Bryce Harper. They're winning, which I think also plays into part why people want to go watch. But their TV ratings are up 30%, like, because people are doing it. I don't know if their attendance, I'm assuming they probably are, but is there a solution to all? I think it's not only baseball, it's all these sports. How do you get people to come out to the stadium? I think it's more challenging. There's more competition and other activities. There are other things to do. There are video games at home. There's TV where you can actually watch it at home. Maybe we've seen the golden age of attendance.
There's also infrastructure issues, and that's what we don't talk about enough. In cities and towns where there's nothing else going on and not a lot of traffic, you really don't have attendance issues. Mm-hmm. In cities where it's a pain in the neck to get somewhere, let's talk about Miami.
Right.
It is a pain in the neck to get down to Marlins Park. Trust me, I did it for years and years and years. So if I have a choice here in Miami to watch the Marlins, who stink,
right,
on TV, or to schlep all the way down to the ballpark in traffic and be aggravated about it, I'm going to stay at home. If I'm in Kansas City and it's freezing cold, the weather's bad, and I'm in my office and it's an afternoon game, and I say to a client, hey, let's go to a Royals game against the Rays. The Rays are the best team in baseball. Let's go watch them play. And the guy looks and says, you want me to drive a half hour and eat overpriced food and freeze my tuchus off?
Right.
Why would I do any of that?
Right. Forget it.
I've got HDTV.
Right.
And I can be watching like Cannell and Bell.
Right. And
sometimes Samson.
And if it's not good, the game isn't good, you just turn the channel. Like, cause your team's probably going to lose anyway, so you just switch it. Shohei Ohtani was one of the bigger storylines, we saw last season when he came over trying to be this two-way player. Unfortunately, he had the injury where he had to undergo Tommy John surgery. Still hasn't played this year.
He was a two-way player.
So he's not anymore. Right. He's not going to be, because they're going to use him as a DH. So you still see that he will not take the mound again as an Angel?
Oh, no. He will not take a mound this year. My position on Ohtani is that I am upset that the Angels are bringing him back this year to hit.
Oh, really?
A team that's going nowhere. They should have rehabbed him as a pitcher.
He's a DH. He's not even going to do anything. He doesn't have that much. What are we worried about?
Attention, folks.
He's an athlete.
This
He wants to play the game. He doesn't. No athlete likes being shelved for a year and a half to not play the game that you love. So why don't let him go out there and actually hit?
Because he's my asset. I control him, and I'm in charge of him, and I need him to pitch.
What if he's my teammate and I like playing with him and I want him on the field with me, because maybe he can
start paying the bills.
On the mound.
Start paying the bills.
All right. Oh, Ohtani said, I'm pretty impatient to begin with, so I'm getting a little impatient. But as I get closer and closer, the more impatient I'm getting. Personally, I feel like I'm ready to go as of right now. Put him out in the field. Let him go.
You know one thing we never did when running a baseball team? We never once paid attention to what a player said about his own injury.
We should be paying more attention to the players, because this might be a guy who actually wants to win as opposed to a guy who does it for the money.
Really?
See? That's what I'm trying to find. Guys like Shohei Ohtani.
Want to bet a dollar on that?
No, I won't bet a dollar on that one. The Angels are 15-17. They're fourth in the AL West right now, so it probably doesn't matter. Just keep them shelved if you want to do that. The Yankees, on the other hand, have been a mess with the injuries. That's just been a rash of injuries. The injury list is long. It's kind of like those baseball stats, the home run stats. I won't read them all to you. Are you surprised that they're still in second in the division?
Well, it's been a division of mediocrity, right? The Red Sox have played terribly. The Blue Jays, with calling up Guerrero, thinking that'll make a difference. It's just, and the Orioles. Can we talk about the Orioles? No. I don't want to take a minute talking about them. They're so bad. Now, Tampa Bay has started off great. The Yankees have done smoke and mirrors. They had a very easy April schedule, and they took advantage of it with these injuries. What you've seen since they started playing good teams, they got swept by the Diamondbacks. They've got the Twins in town, and I'm about to call on the queue later this afternoon. My underdog of the day is I'm taking the Twins over the Yankees. The Yankees aren't good enough to beat good teams. They're just good enough to beat bad teams.
So you're not going to give Aaron Boone a lot of credit for keeping this team above water and kind of in contention with all those injuries. You're not giving my man any credit, Booney.
Is he your man?
We were together.
I like Booney.
He's a great dude.
He was one of my...
That's right. My dad, though, too.
I know him well. He does great imitations.
You're not giving him manager
guy.
Of the year.
Managers can make good teams great. They can't make bad teams good. And they can't make incredible teams worse.
Right. That's an interesting...
So I don't... He is who he is.
All right. All right, welcome back to Kinnell and Bell hanging out on a Friday. It is Kentucky Derby weekend.
Hanging out with not Raja. We're not giving him enough.
Stepping out. It's load management. You know, these NBA guys.
It's hard to imagine.
These NBA guys.
I'm going to give him some load management.
You got to be careful with your phrasing. We already had somebody else tweet in at us, at FunnyMan1, said, that moment when David Sampson starts talking about Danny Cannell's balls on Kinnell and Bell. Footballs, of course, was the comments that we were talking about. I don't know where that guy's
mind. Can't beat that on the
queue. In the gutter, exactly.
Going into the queue.
Exactly. The Kentucky Derby, have you been?
No.
I haven't either. Is it on a bucket list for you of sports events?
I've been to a lot of great sport events, and I try to do one every year that's crazy, like the World Sumo Wrestling Championships.
With the Ryder Cup. I know I was jealous of that.
Ryder Cup.
Is that your first Ryder Cup?
Yes.
Yeah, I won it.
That's first golf tournament
for me.
It was
really
great.
Yeah.
The guy I was with got hit by a ball.
No.
Literally.
So that made the trip even better?
Sit there and wait for the officials and referees to come by. I've got pictures, but we don't have enough to pull up video. But it's the thing with the Derby that bothers me, I don't like wearing hats.
Right.
And I don't like.
Now, you don't have to wear a hat.
You really should.
You should if you want to kind of get into the festive mood. But like Bob Baffert, the legendary trainer, have you ever seen him with a hat?
No, but if you had that mop of gray.
Yeah, that's true. That is
like us.
Yeah, that's right.
Wearing hats.
I think you could find like a fedora or something that you could just pick up pretty off the street. You just don't like it.
No.
I never had a mint julep. I don't know if I would like it anyway, you know?
But pressing the cough button. Did that work?
I don't know if that works in our studio either. It is supposed to be legendary for the parties that go on.
It's an all-dayer for the 2 minutes of racing. You have
right.
to focus for 2 minutes.
Right.
Apparently you party. It's my kind of
there
thing.
There are lead-in races, but I don't think anybody cares
don't
about those. It's all about the cocktails and the hats and the dresses that are going on. I've covered football at Louisville, and you can actually, from Louisville's football stadium press box, you can see Churchill Downs. It's not that impressive. Like, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble. It kind of looks like a dump.
It's a stable that fits 100,000 people, right?
Right. That's essentially what it is. Now, you have the gorgeous, I don't even know what you call it, the facade, which is kind of like, I mean, I would say it's probably up there with Yankee Stadium as far as like famous facades and the architecture that you see. It's very recognizable, but the surroundings, not that
you important. Love the, what instrument is it that does the sound they play?
Bugle or the trumpet?
I think it's a trumpet. The big one?
Yeah, but I thought that was the bugle.
They stand there and play it. It's got such pomp and circumstance.
It does.
It makes me feel so unworthy, right? As I'm sitting in my underwear watching it right from the couch, and there's such, you know, everyone looks so good.
Yes.
And then you think about what horse racing is, and I start to feel a little badly.
You like, do, for the horses.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't feel as bad for them as I do for the dogs. Like, those horses are treated like royalty.
But the dogs have nothing on their back.
That is true.
Horses have me.
That is true.
But Jorge Cantu used to think I was a jockey.
He did.
He would always call me. He's like, who are you riding this weekend?
Are jockeys athletes?
Yes.
Are horses athletes?
Yes.
Come on.
Like a coxswain. Is it a coxswain? Coxswain?
I don't know.
Crew. Like the little guy in crew?
Yes.
Pull.
Not an athlete.
That's an athlete.
That is not an athlete.
You get a varsity letter, you're an athlete.
Something with a ball, a racket, something. You have to hit it. I hit a ball. You have to catch a ball, throw a ball. You have to do something.
In
order to be considered an athlete.
Can you not be a great debater and be an athlete? A nationally ranked debater in high school. You don't consider that athletic?
No. No.
What do you consider that? Intellectual?
That's a mathlete. That's what that is. There's a different category for that. All right.
You're an athletist.
Speaking of the Kentucky Derby, you guys love our hammer and Hank Goldberg. He's outstanding. I listened to him as a kid on talk radio here in South Florida. He's a legend of the game. Well, the hammer goes straight to the source to get winning racing picks. Last year, he was all over Justify early after talking to a timer in California. Who is he all over this year in the Kentucky Derby? I'm having trouble with my reading today.
Awesome.
Who is he all over this year in Kentucky Derby? Visit sportsline.com and click on Kentucky Derby to see his picks for this year's Derby. Use promo code DERBY to get your first month of picks for just $1.
Here's a shorter read for that. Yeah. Hammering Hank will help you win money. You just have to do $1.
Promo code DERBY.
And go do it.
Sportsline.com. Check that out. The Dallas Cowboys, your favorite team.
Hate them.
Why do you hate the Cowboys?
The Giants. I've been a Giants guy my whole life.
Perfect, because we're going to segue into him just a second, because I'm curious to get your thoughts on Dave Gettleman. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys will be a better team this year. Shouldn't every GM say that?
Is he talking as the owner?
I don't know.
The president or the GM? That's
I do
all I
not
want to know.
Think this. I do not think, I'm a firm believer that the Cowboys will not win a Super Bowl as Jerry Jones in all these different roles.
If they have.
Separate himself?
They have.
But that was with Jimmy Johnson. That's a different, but he
never been the coach.
But Jimmy Johnson was the GM.
Not really.
Yes, he does all those
his
picks.
Title were, under the agreement.
No, but Jerry Johnson made charge. All those draft picks.
No.
Jerry Jones didn't do squat. That was
Jerry
Jimmy
Jones
Johnson.
Was in charge the way he is now.
Not
the
as
difference
much.
Difference is he's not listening to people anymore because he had a little success. Trust me, I've worked with owners like this. They win a championship.
Yep.
They make suggestions. They get a ring, and all of a sudden think that every suggestion they make is going to be good. There's only one thing I like about Jerry Jones. Literally only one thing.
He makes a lot of money.
It's not his taste in art, because have you toured the art at AT&T Stadium?
Oh, it's not good, huh?
It's schlock. Absolute schlock. What I love, he's willing to own the fact that he's the owner. He makes the decisions. He's unapologetic. He's not going to fire himself. And when things go well, it's because of him. And when things go badly, it's because of him. He doesn't hide behind anyone. It's the only thing about him I respect.
We can disagree on who built those teams when they won the Super Bowls. But I think we can both agree that they're not going to win with him. I think, you know, we talk about players being in it for what the game brings to them or the love of the game. I think Jerry Jones is at a point where he really loves being the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. He loves taking the microphone after every game. You don't see that many GMs, period, address the media after games. Every game, he holds court in the locker room, and it drives me nuts because very rarely does it do him.
He's the Scott Boras of owners because there's no microphone he doesn't like.
That is true.
But he owns it, and I'll give him credit for that. But no, his team is not good, and his quote, he needs some PR help. There's no tangible reason.
But he won't listen to anybody because you've had that much success, you have that much money. Why would you listen to anybody? You're just kind of in this own stratosphere where you're kind of above everything, and you don't feel the criticism, probably because you have a bunch of yes men around you that are some of them are your family members that like their jobs, and they're not willing to stick up to you. And
only
so you're just
insecure kinda people surround themselves with sycophants, and he is one of those people.
Yes, he is. Dave Gettleman is not afraid of a microphone either, and I think he should be. I think he should keep his mouth shut. Here is what he has had to say about Daniel Jones, their quarterback they selected sixth overall.
We're thrilled to get Daniel. He was up there with everybody else on our board in terms of value. And he is just perfect for us. We really believe in this kid, and we really believe he's going to be a real quality quarterback for us, for our franchise. He understands what's in front of him.
It's painful.
We've spoken to Eli and talked to him. And Daniel's coming in here to learn how to be a pro, learn how to be a professional quarterback. And I'm just, like I said, I'm a little tired. We're thrilled to have him.
All right, so that was the night that they selected Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Since then, he's gone on to guarantee that they could not have taken him at 17, because he guarantees you he has two teams that he knows for a fact that would have selected him before
that. CYA.
Yeah, exactly. He's also said that maybe they would follow the Green Bay Packers plan and sit him for 3 years, which is the dumbest thing I think I've ever said.
He won't be there in 3 years.
Not if Daniel Jones isn't playing or isn't any good. Either one of those scenarios plays out. I think he's doing his young quarterback, an incredible disservice by putting this added pressure on him and creating this dissension among a fan base, because no one likes Daniel Jones. I feel bad for Daniel Jones now. What do you think Dave Gettleman should do or should have done from this point? Because I don't mind him taking a quarterback.
I don't want to ever see him behind a podium and behind a microphone.
No.
If I'm the owner of the Giants, like the Mara family, I'm freaking out right now. This is who's representing my football department with a team that's been underperforming for years, a fan base who's totally frustrated, a quarterback who we have married ourselves to, who absolutely can't win games anymore, who is going to go to the Hall of Fame, who's gotten me rings, so I love him so much, but he's finished. And now I've got Gettleman talking this way. So, number one, no more microphone. Number two,
yes.
What he's got to do is he needs to have spoken with Eli prior to taking Jones. And they need to have had a plan ready to be given to the fan base and the public the night of the draft. Now they're just covering up all the mistakes they've made. So now no one's listening. So their fan base and around the country, the fans of the Giants, have just closed their ears because they assume anything coming out of his mouth is crap. So they missed their window. So how do you cover it up? They have another chance when camp opens. Not mini camp. I'm talking about when it's time for preseason football, real pads. You have to have the coach, with a direct answer of who's playing, what the plan is, regardless of record. You can't be doing the Jones watch every single half if Manning isn't playing well.
So, it's interesting the way this is all playing out, right? Because I think the biggest problem I have with the Giants is what is the plan? Because a year ago they took Saquon Barkley, which I actually defended him. I thought Saquon Barkley, I think he is a generational back. He was rookie of the year. I think he proved that. I have no problem with them passing on Sam Darnold and every quarterback, although a lot of people disagree with that. What I do have a problem with is in the offseason, you've got Odell Beckham Jr., who, you know, you have this back and forth with him. He's been this mercurial teammate. He's been a cause of dissension in the locker room. And you go ahead and reward him with a $70 million contract, whatever the number was in the contract. Then, a year later, you decide to trade him away to the Cleveland Browns. And, well, why did you do all that? Why didn't you just get...
You were hoping he'd be better.
Right, but that was a mistake. All right, so we can...
There was no chance he was going to be better.
Right, there was no chance he was going to be better, and I don't think he was going to change. Even though he's promised he was going to be a professional and he wasn't going to be a distraction, he still was. Then you get to this offseason, you get to this draft, and you decide to go ahead and keep Eli Manning around at $22 million, which is a pretty expensive number. When... All right, if that's your plan, and you said on the record, if we supply Eli with the right players around him, we still think he can be productive. We still think we can win Super Bowls with him. And we see him for another 2 years, not 1 year, 2 years.
Then you don't draft Jones.
Exactly. That's why you see all these contrasting decisions that don't make any sense as far as what the plan is. That's why I have no problem at all criticizing Dave Gettleman. I don't like getting up here and saying people are clueless because they put a lot of work behind the scenes and they do a lot, but he's made a lot of mistakes. And one of them, he needs to keep his mouth shut because he needs to stop putting his, Daniel Jones in a rough spot, which he has. Their rookie camp does start today. So I'm sure there will be more Daniel Jones talk over the weekend. Oh, I please, for his sake, do not throw a couple interceptions in his first practice. Because if that gets out, you think those Giants,
cameras are
they're going to be all over him. All right, welcome back to Kennell and Bell, hanging out with David Sampson on a Friday, Kentucky Derby weekend. Just to give people a glimpse of what happens behind the scenes. We are a young, I don't want to say fledgling podcast show. We are thriving.
You're not fledgling.
We're thriving podcast / online streaming show. But we don't have all the resources that some other networks might have. So, last segment, you saw some outstanding sound from Dave Gettleman. You actually got to heard him say it, right? That normally sometimes doesn't happen on the show. I have to read a quote, but we actually got something done. Should we share how it got done?
I think it's very simple.
Money talks, right? My man David Sampson right here.
I said, I need Gettleman sound.
He said, I want some Gettleman sound. Whipped out the C note, put it out there, and imagine that. The sound got done. All of a sudden it happened. Well, hold on a second though. I'm going to be broke if we have to do that every time we need sound because I want sound every show. That's a $500 week.
You're going to get a raise though.
That is true.
And by the way, I got an expense account. You don't have that?
Oh, that's perfect.
I already expensed this.
I'm going to put that on there then.
By the way, you want to know how to make money? You expense this at $105.
Oh, put a little premium on there.
It's a VIG.
That could also get you fired too.
CBS likes VIGs.
I actually heard some really horrific stories about some people that were forging parking receipts just to make a couple extra bucks parking. That's a little over the top.
We fired people with I have fired people for cheating on their expenses.
Yeah, people do it all the time. Yeah.
Notice.
People aren't that very aren't smart and they're greedy.
That is for sure.
All right, Fortnite has become an issue apparently with the Boston Red Sox. It is no longer in their clubhouse. So Nathan Eovaldi told WEEI in a story published Wednesday that he hasn't seen the popular video game around all season. He said, usually everybody had it set up in their lockers, but I haven't seen it. Last year, apparently, it had become a distraction for the Red Sox. I don't know if it was a distraction as much as it was an injury risk because David Price
actually got injured playing Fortnite. He got carpal tunnel syndrome. He pretended it had something to do with something else. It was not. He was sitting there playing video games. And if you do your thumb like this, you can
a zillion times over and over and over.
Forearm. So Nathan Eovaldi, by the way, Mr. Bone Chip, $68 million man himself. I'm glad he's the
spokesman. Just had the surgery, right?
Right.
So he's out again for the same bone.
Great guy. But again, I'm not sure why he's talking about this. When the Red Sox are winning, when a team is winning, you don't worry about the clubhouse as much. but you do look for things that can lead for injuries. When you start the way the Red Sox have as the front office, you're going down to that clubhouse and you are cleaning it up.
You are.
Oh, wow. 100%.
All right, so
you're
what
changing
about
the food. You're ripping over the spread, right? You know,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You're doing something to change what's happening. You take away some of their benefits. You make them come in for more workouts. You do things by saying you're going to work harder because you're not performing on the field. If you want more time off, then you better start winning some games.
How about this theory? What if, and he says it hasn't been around all year, what if that's creating division in the locker room? Guys are looking for it in the clubhouse. There's no team chemistry. There's no bonding where they're usually hanging out.
You're
all
a clubhouse guy, Danny. What's the number one thing that causes division in a major league clubhouse or a professional clubhouse?
For me, it was always music.
Music.
Yes.
Number one. So we had a system with the Marlins that we had different days for the different cliques.
Right.
You knew that Monday.
Yeah, hip hop one day. You know, have the
it was
Puerto
country
Rican.
Day. Yeah. It is Hispanic music. It is soft adult contemporary
hard rock. Wait, they had soft rock?
You're the one that I want. That? You are the one I want.
That was your choice,
baby. Oh,
wait
a second.
You
I would
had
do
the
Broadway soundtrack.
Soundtrack?
Broadway.
You made them listen to that? That's
hell yeah.
What they put in the prisoners to like torture them so they give the truth. They put in that type of music. You put that in the clubhouse?
Have you ever seen Book of Mormon?
No wonder they were awful.
We have a ring. Wait a minute. I have a ring.
You're telling me the ring season, they were listening to Broadway music.
I'm just saying
it's an eclectic
bit of music.
Okay.
And it can
be a fight. That's your point.
But by the way, Fortnite, it's an issue for me. I don't like video games because you've got 25 guys with their head into their locker, and I want 25 guys with their head out of their locker.
Playing cards, dominoes, which have traditionally been the games that guys have been playing in the locker room.
Exactly.
But also, I've seen division when guys have lost a lot of money playing cards or dominoes or one of those, too.
They lose their meal money on the plane playing poker.
Which, as long as it's meal money, it's not that big a deal. It's a problem when you have bigger than meal money.
I've seen fights
stakes.
Over it.
Oh, absolutely.
Like fights over
I've seen equipment managers get in over their head trying to think they were going to hang with the players and go there with the wagers and end up crying. Grown men crying saying, I can't pay this. Thankfully, there were some good dudes on the Giants.
I've played that in the clubhouse. Rosie Greer. It's all right to cry.
Yeah.
Crying takes the sad out of you. Football player.
All right, we gotta talk to the Marlins DJ and see if they can get some better music out there. In case you want to know, this weekend, CBS Sports HQ, we will have you updated. DJ, Oyunglele is going to decide where he goes.
Good luck, Danny.
Watch CBS Sports HQ all weekend if you want to find out where he's going. My guess, Clemson. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the Derby.
See ya.